Blog Talk Radio.
Evening, everybody, and welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. I'm so glad you tuned in as we're talking about half-baked leaders in the church. Perhaps you're a leader, and you have to ask yourself the question, where am I in my spiritual development? Am I half-baked, or am I almost done? Heavenly Father, we have been considering Hosea chapter 7, verse 8, which says, Ephraim have mixed himself among the people. Lord, are we guilty of mixing ourselves among the people? The text goes on to say, Ephraim is a cake not turned. Are we, Lord, as your leaders, as your deacons, as your trustees, as your elders, as your pastors, are we a cake not turned? Speak to us, Lord. The rise and fall of your church depends on leadership, and not just one leader, but the leadership team. Ensure, Lord, we pray, that the leadership team at Grace Church is fully baked. For if the leadership is fully baked, it will go well with Grace Church. Help us, O Lord, we pray. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Turn to page 2 in your outlines, because if you recall, on Tuesday, May 31st, we talked about Jacob the patriarch, Jacob the family pastor. And I don't want to reiterate what we said about Jacob other than to say that Jacob was one who needed constant deliverance because he was constantly operating in the flesh. It's God's goal for all of us to undergo a steady transformation rather than going from one crisis to another like Jacob did. In the end, we can conclude based on Scripture that Jacob eventually became all that God wanted him to be. But it was a long, long process. No doubt, too long for what God intended for Jacob. But that's what happens when we disobey the Lord, when we do things of our own leaning. The Bible tells us, lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. Well, in many times in Jacob's life, he did not acknowledge the Lord. And he went ahead and did things which later on caused him many troubles, many heartaches. But in the end, as you can see, that arrow which represents Jacob's life trended upward. Well, that was not the same for King Saul. King Saul yesterday, Wednesday, June 1st, and we saw that King Saul, sadly, kept going down and down and down, and he never recovered. God wanted to do with King Saul what he had done with Jacob. But again, King Saul did not cooperate, and as such, God had to remove him from being king. So you can see King Saul's arrow, and it just kept going down. Today we want to look at King Solomon, the favored son of David and Bathsheba. Solomon's original name was Jedidiah. Jedidiah means the one whom Jehovah loves. And the Lord really loved Solomon. Now, we know that David wanted to build the temple of the Lord. It came into David's heart to build God a magnificent temple, but because he had shed too much blood in battle, God said, no, I will not allow you to do that. That will not be one of your tasks in your reign. I will allow your son Solomon, a man of peace, to build me my temple. So let's look at 2 Chronicles. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 2 Chronicles 7. And we're going to start reading at verse number 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Well, let's start reading at verse 11. Let's start reading at verse 11, where it says, thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord. We want to start there. 2 Chronicles 7, 11. This is a famous chapter, a well-known chapter by so many Christians. It's a chapter about the temple and prayer. 2 Chronicles 7:11. Let's read what the Lord has to say to Solomon.
Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually.
So there you have it. God approves of Solomon's building of the temple, and God says to him, now, if the nation falls into sin, if the people, my people, turn from me and get involved with iniquity and wickedness, then I will shut up the heavens, which means I will send no rain. That will result in a famine, or if I decide to send the locusts to eat up all the crops, or if I send the pestilence, if I send the plague, send the famine, or he'll send the locusts, or he'll send the plague to get his people's attention, because when you hurt people in their pocketbooks, you really get their attention. So God says, now, when I send one of these three punishments, then if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven, forgive their sin, I will heal their land. So these are the conditions that God sets for Solomon and the nation. But now in verse 17, which is where we want to focus on, this is what God says to Solomon, the leader. God is not, the previous verses is what God's saying to the nation, to his people, to all 12 tribes. This is what now, starting in verse 17, what God says to Solomon as king. From the King of Kings to the King of Israel, God is speaking to Solomon. So let's pick it up at verse 17.
And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom, according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel.
So there you go. As for thee, you're up now. It's your turn to be the leader, the main leader. If you will walk before me as David your father walked, and do all according to what I command, and if you observe my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish your dynasty. I will give you dynastic rule. I will allow a descendant of yours to always sit on the throne of Israel. It's conditional. Solomon, behave. Solomon, do that which is right. Solomon, follow me with all your heart, because if you do, I'll reward you. If you don't, listen to what God says. If you don't, here it is, starting at verse 19.
But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house which is high shall be an astonishment to every one that passeth by, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them.
There you have it. God says, now, if you turn away from me, I'll uproot the people from... I gave you this land. I gave the 12 tribes of Israel this land under the leadership of Joshua. They expelled, they got rid of, they exterminated the Canaanites. I gave them this land, which I had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But now if you cause the people to turn away, then I will uproot the people. If the people follow you in serving false gods, then I'll uproot you all, and this magnificent building that you built for me in my honor, I will allow the enemy to tear it down, bring it down, not one stone upon another. because I'm interested in obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice or anything that you claim you can do for me. Obedience, Solomon. So, Solomon, behave yourself. Now, remember, my brothers and sisters, we're talking about leadership development. We're talking about leadership transformation. No one comes into leadership fully baked. It is a lifelong process. The more you yield to the Lord, the more he bakes you. The less you yield to the Lord, the more you stay crude. And if you're crude, if you're not fully cooked, you're a crude person. Your spirituality is crude. Your walk is crude. Your talk is crude. Your thinking is crude. So God says to Solomon, if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and you go and you serve other gods and worship them, I'll pluck you out. I'll get rid of you. I'll get rid of the people. Because they too have gone a-whoring after these false gods. Well, let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings 11. Because for a while there, for a while, Solomon was good. Solomon behaved himself. But let's read 1 Kings 11. Verse 1 through verse 8. Let's read.
Chapter 11. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love.
Well, there you go. Solomon messed up. He messed up. He got mixed with the people. Remember the text says, Hosea 7:8 says, Ephraim, he have mixed himself among the people. Well, Solomon did the same thing. Solomon mixed himself among whom? The Egyptians, because he loved the daughter of Pharaoh. He mixed himself among the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Sidonians, and the Hittites. You see, he mixed himself. And when he mixed himself, he lost himself. Let's continue. We at verse number 2, we're going to pick it up again at verse 3.
And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart.
His wives, his mixed wives, because he was supposed to only marry an Israelite. Well, what did he do? Well, he committed numerous sins. First of all, he married or he loved strange women. Women who were not of that word strange there means from the dark kingdom. He was supposed to marry women from the kingdom of light, a woman from the kingdom of light, but he went to the kingdom of darkness. And he loved them and he chased them. Samson chased Delilah. Solomon was chasing them all. And they turned his heart away from God. Verse 4. And notice, now we have a time stamp in verse 4. A time stamp. It tells you when this happened in Solomon's life.
For it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods.
There you go. So when you mix yourself with these people, then you wind up loving them. Then you find yourself loving their gods. Then you find yourself building their gods places of worship. So Solomon was fully mixed up. He's on a downward trend. Let's read what the Lord says in verse 9 of 1 Kings 11.
And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, Forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Albeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen.
So there you go. God punishes Solomon by saying to him, I'm going to rend the kingdom from you. You know, think of this. As a pastor, the best way for me to explain what's going on here with Solomon, as a pastor, if you take over a pastorate and the Lord gives you 300 people, and then through your bad administration, you wind up with 50 people, and you wind up losing 250 because you were a bad pastor, and God took those 250 and placed them in the hands of another shepherd who was more faithful than you. See, God has the power to rend things from our hands, to take them away from us, to subtract from us. And this is what God does to Solomon as punishment, as a chastisement, if you will. And there were many other things. You continue to read the chapter. But as you can see, Solomon started out well, but in his old age, he became an old fool. He got mixed up. Now, remember, this is the wisest man in Scripture, the wisest. So it's a warning to all of us. You think you're wise. You think you have it all together. You think you know every Bible verse there is. You think that you're a walking Solomon today. Be careful. Be careful. Don't let your guard down. Yield to God every day. Yield. Say, Lord, make me over today. Lord, work on me today. Lord, ensure that I don't stay raw. Ensure, Lord, that I don't stay uncooked. Cook me fully. Develop me just a little bit more. Turn me over. Turn me over on this side, and then turn me over back on the other side. Continue the process until I'm fully done. Now, if you look at the arrow there, Solomon trends upward. Unlike King Saul, who just trended downward, Solomon trended upward, because that's not where the story ends. It doesn't end in 1 Kings 11. Solomon repented and then wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, the book of the preacher, and there Solomon is restored back to fellowship with God. But here's the tragedy. You say, well, he was restored. Yeah, but he was restored, but not the kingdom. And those 10 tribes that were taken from him then became known as Ephraim. And then Ephraim never recovered. and those 10 tribes were lost. Listen to me, saints. Just because you're restored back to God doesn't mean that he restores what you lost, what he took from you. This is tragic. Every sin has lasting consequences. When you sin, there are things that you're going to lose that you might not ever recover. Let God bake you. Yield to God every day. Surrender to the Lord. Let him have his way with you. Stop trying to manipulate God like Jacob did with, you know, Jacob tried to manipulate God by saying, well, if you do this for me, I'll do that for you. God cannot be manipulated. Just surrender. The old hymn, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender. Listen, just surrender your life. It'll do you well to surrender all to Jesus. But Pastor Solomon recovered. Yes. He recovered. He got back to the Lord. Yes, God used them one more time. But look at everything that was lost. Listen, what's written here in 1 Chronicles and what's written in 2 Chronicles and what's written here in 1 Kings, this was never erased. What God had written down in the archives, in the annals of the Old Testament, you know, just because Solomon recovered doesn't mean that this was under the blood and it was wiped clean and it wasn't recorded. No, it's right there. It's a warning. It's a warning to all of us. You can be as wise as Solomon one day and as foolish as Solomon the next day because you went after things you shouldn't have gone after. Disobeyed the Lord. You turned your back on God. You disregarded his. And mind you, he's already warned us. He already warned Solomon. When Solomon built the temple, God appeared to him a second time and said, listen, this will happen. God says, concerning you, listen, you better follow me. Or this will be the consequences. And having been warned, Solomon did not heed. How many saints do not heed God's warning? How many leaders in the church do not heed God's warning? They play fast and loose with the commandments of God to their own detriment and to the detriment of the poor sheep under their care. God have mercy. Well, we're going to leave it there. We'll be back tomorrow to finish up the series on half-baked leaders when we talk about John Mark and Demas. God bless you, saints. Love you. Pray for me as I'm praying for you.